It's 88.5, Nick Harcourt, your host, and happy to welcome to our studio this morning Mercury Rev, who are going to be out in the desert at Desert Days this weekend, performing their 1998 album, which is one of my favorite albums over the years, called Deserter's Songs. We're going to hear some music first, and then we'll come back and we'll chat with Jonathan and Grasshopper from Mercury Rev, but right now, here they are, live on the air. It's the Nick Harcourt Show at 88.5.
Thank you. Into a dream I took a turn and promised to return the way we were, the way we met, the way I lit your cigarette, and the way it trailed into a stream and lay down between. Divide yourself in two, the way you were long before you were a walking civil war. But you forget where the road goes, and tonight it shows. Into your soul I tried to climb, but found a hole too high for me to leave in the way I'd learned, and found I couldn't turn in the way the trees and the falling rain remind me in a way of the way. The way we were, and the day we met, and the way I lit your cigarette, and the way it changed into a strange cold quarter phrase. But you forget how the song goes, and tonight it shows.
It's 88.5 FM with Nick Harcourt, your host for the morning show, and something special to wrap up our program this morning. One of my favorite albums of the last 20 years is by the band Mercury Rev. It's called Deserter's Songs, and the band have been out on tour celebrating its 20th anniversary with dates in Europe. And this weekend, on Saturday, they'll be out in the desert as a part of that amazing festival lineup known as the Desert Days. A couple of weeks ago, I managed to get Jonathan and Grasshopper into a studio in Kingston, New York, which is not that far away from Woodstock, New York, where I used to spend a little bit of time. I actually lived there for 10 years before I moved to LA. And we got them also to record a session for us in their own studio. So we're going to put it all together right now and welcome the guys from somewhere out there in the ether. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning from the future.
So great to talk to you guys again. It's been a little while, and we have a sort of strange relationship that we don't really know each other, but we sort of have bumped into each other through the years in both Woodstock and in Los Angeles. And I think when the album that we're going to talk about originally came out back in 1998, I had just moved from the Catskills to Los Angeles, and you put out this record, one of the most beautiful records I've heard ever, I think, and such a highly regarded record at the time. And then here we are 20 years later talking about it again. So I guess my opening question is, when you went into the studio and started putting down tracks for Deserter's songs, where was the band at that time? Because you'd been a band for maybe 8 or 9 years already and put a couple of albums out, but this one was a little bit of a shift for you, wasn't it?
It was. I'd like to look back and say, you know, we had it all figured out. We knew exactly what we wanted to do on Deserter Songs, but we didn't. We were really at the low point, to be quite honest. And we'd lost our label. We had lost a lot of band members over the past few years leading up to Deserters. And so Grasshopper and myself and Dave Fribben were really at sort of the lowest ebb that there possibly could be offered by sort of any body of water. And with that, we sort of went in to, I guess you would say, the studio, just thinking that this wasn't an album we thought people were waiting for. In fact, we were convinced that nobody was waiting for a new Mercury Rev record. And so the way we approached it quite literally was, this was going to be the last thing that we probably ever were able to record. And at some point, I know, you know, we spoke about it, the three of us, myself and Dave Fridman and Grasshopper, and we really said, you know, hey, there's a chance this is really just going to come out on cassette to a few friends. So we might as well go for broke in terms of the ideas that would later become the album and the orchestrations. And back in, you know, 96, 97, Britpop was at the top of the charts. Everything was 3.5 minute jangly Rickenbacker guitars and hook lines and sinkers. And here we were doing 6, 7, 8 minute songs with featuring oboes. And that alone was sort of the way we wanted to be sent off with. It wasn't a last gasp of thinking, let's put together, you know, a string of singles and cross our fingers and think that this is really going to go straight to the charts. It was really almost a swan song just to us, because even when we began Deserters, we didn't really have a label. So it was really just a love of the three of us making something up. And, you know, we were very fortunate that things took a turn that was probably the most unexpected by us.
Now, originally the band formed in Buffalo, but by the time you were making this the recordings that became this album, you were in the Catskills, right?
Yes.
In the Woodstock area, and I believe you recorded it in a couple of studios up in Buffalo and in Woodstock.
We started recording Deserter Songs actually on Hurley Mountain Road, right between Kingston and Woodstock.
What was it about that moment in time and perhaps where you were living that informed the record as well? Because I remember when I first heard it, sort of having known the area that you guys were living, it definitely felt like it was informed by that moment in time and where you were living. Is that fair to say?
It's very fair to say. You know, it's probably the same question you could have asked the Velvet Underground in, you know, 69 about New York City. It's something subtle. You know, it's not something you can go in and say, can you pass me that Esopus Creek guitar pedal or, you know, Overlook Mountain violin or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's just something that's... in a way, it's what you lean on the most. When you're at your lowest, you're not thinking, I have these brilliant songs and I can't wait for people to hear them. You're a lot more introverted than that. You're a lot more vulnerable and isolated. And maybe the one thing that props up any artist is the surrounding environment, even if it's something that they themselves can't sort of feel, like a pillow or a blanket or something. It is the one thing you do wrap yourself in unconsciously.
One of the things that stood out, I think, obviously, as well as the recordings and the songs, was the addition of some of the people that you brought in. And as we're talking about Woodstock and the area, Garth Hudson and Levon Helm from the band also came in and joined on the recording sessions. What kind of history did those guys bring to the music?
Well, you know, living in the Catskills, they're well beyond the point of being musical icons. They're more like mythological figures that you might say, hey, I sighted Levon yesterday walking over here, or hey, I ran into Garth along this sort of road. And they sort of have a much greater otherworldly presence in the Catskills than just simply a keyboard player or a drummer. And that alone is enough to sort of inform, at least it did at the time, us, that when we asked them, you know, both Levon and Garth, it wasn't something that was sort of premeditated in a way that said, hey, guys, bring in your Catskillness into our Catskillness and we'll make this giant witch's cauldron of Catskill goulash. It was more a case of musicians that we felt in a way closer to, or at least I did, more through the connection of geography and place than just music, you know. And to be fair, at that time, I'm sure you remember living here, Nick, is neither Levon nor Garth were ostensibly at a high point in their careers. It would be a few years until Levon's Rambles took off and really brought him a greater sense of recognition following the years after the band. So they were dark times, you know, for Mercury Rev and for myself and Grasshopper. And maybe in a way, that's where the connection also lay with Levon and Garth, was had they been at their pinnacle, at their peak of both financial and sort of popularity, they probably would have been well out of our range.
It's true and sad to say that at that time, both of those guys were not unlike a lot of musicians, everywhere for that matter, but in the Catskills in particular at that time, those guys with the history they had, it was staggering that they were, you know, they were scratching a living together at the time. Maybe the intensity of that lifestyle, as you said, combined with what was going on with you, brought something to it. So having said that, there is an overall cinematic feel to this whole record. I'm wondering if you can talk about that and maybe perhaps the way it was recorded. And secondly, I know, Jonathan, you were talking to me in an email back and forth last week about it feels really like a kid's record to you. Can you explain that?
Well, I think this is Grasshopper. The cinematic quality came from, I guess, our beginnings. You know, we started out making film soundtracks for student films and stuff like that in Buffalo. And at first, we didn't know about all the instrumentation so much, and we were just making, you know, orchestrating noise guitars. But then, you know, through See You on the Other Side and into Deserter Songs, we learned how to use those instruments and use strings and the oboes and horns and stuff. And a lot of that came from the music that we listened to as children, that Jonathan and I both loved, you know, stuff like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Disney music, and what else, Jonathan? There's Peter and the Wolf.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it was, to be honest, was Grasshopper and Dave Fridman could both read, and along with Suzanne as well on the flute, they could read and they could write music, where I can't do either. But we all shared a love of that young childhood quality, whether it was Tailspinner Records of Peter and the Wolf being narrated by Boris Karloff, or The Little Prince with Richard Burton. It had this underlying classicalness to it with a story that sort of gave an emotional context. And, you know, if I'm honest with myself, at least, and certainly Grasshopper can bear this out, is all of the records that at least I'm a part of, in some way, they're reclaiming some element of my childhood. Maybe that's true of most artists. But what was remarkable is that with Dave Fridman and with Grasshopper, they could actualize. I could only describe. I could say, hey, at this point, I want these to sound like a cascading waterfall, and when it crashes on the rocks, I want it to be golden in color. And those two guys could put it into music in a way, and they could say, hey, I think what he's saying is he wants a, you know, a sort of a distended arpeggiation of trilling violin falls, and when he hits and Jonathan says golden, he's looking for something more in the sort of percussive gong.
Yeah.
And those guys could just actualize something that for myself, I was sort of without the lexicon of words to describe. And that's where you might see it, the graduation from See You on the Other Side into Deserters.
So here we are talking about Deserters songs some 20 years later, and clearly it did afford you the opportunity to continue as Mercury Rev and make more music under that name and go off and do various side projects. And on Saturday, just in a couple of days' time, you're going to be performing the whole album at Desert Days, Merino Beach and Lake Paris. So I guess my question is, after all this time, what's it like to go out and play these songs again?
The album's brought us everything. You know, there's no way to downplay just exactly what it's given to us, much more than maybe we could have imagined, you know. And so to do it 20 years later, to us it doesn't feel like a legacy act, because the songs still are so vibrant to us. And we're grateful for that, because there's a lot of records you do that the moment it leaves your mouth or leaves the studio, you can feel a datedness to the music you've just done. But I think for myself, and maybe speaking for Grasshopper and Dave Fridman, there is a sort of timelessness to Deserters, or certainly to parts of it, that we never could have foreseen.
Agreed. I think it's very rare that you can listen back to an album that's 20, 30, 40 years old and feel like it could have been made yesterday or today for that matter. And I personally feel Deserters Songs is a timeless album. Congratulations on achieving that. And you'll be playing those songs out in the desert this weekend on Saturday at Desert Days, at Merino Beach in Lake Paris. So anybody heading out to Desert Days actually begins tomorrow, but we'll be in our pledge drive tomorrow. Don't forget to call us and give us some money, by the way. But if you're out in the desert on Saturday, do catch Mercury Rev's set. So my thanks to Jonathan and to Grasshopper for coming into the studios of Radio Kingston, WKNY in Kingston, New York. Station is run by my old mate Jimmy Buff, who we used to work together at WDST Radio Woodstock in the beautiful Catskills, where you guys still call home. And thanks to everybody for putting this thing together for us. Before we let you go, let's take get you to talk a little bit about these last two songs that you're going to play for us.
Well, in the spirit of Deserter songs, you know, the fanfare around it, what you often find is that, okay, I'm so grateful for the fanfare that has followed Deserters for 20 years, but we all have other songs that aren't ours that we feel also had legs for two decades. And this song here by Pavement from their album Slanted and Enchanted was one of those songs for me that when I heard it at first and through the years, it also has these long legs that just keep walking through time and seem to hold up in a way that, you know, very few songs and certainly very few bands are privileged to have. So to myself and to Grasshopper, you know, and Pavement is one of those bands, and certainly they're longtime friends of ours, but this song in particular was one that has stayed with me for a long, long time.
I was dressed for success, But success it never comes. Am I the only one who laughs at your jokes when they are so bad? And your jokes are always bad, but they're not as bad.
Pretty nifty version of the Pavement song here by our guest in studio this morning, Mercury Rev. As we wrap up for the morning, at the top of the hour, it's Garrison taking you through the afternoon. Tomorrow we'll be in pledge drive mode. I do hope you'll support the station that brings you the wonderful sessions like this each and every day. Our final song is from Deserted Songs, and this is Holes. Have a fab day and keep it simple.
time. All the long red lines that take control of all the smoke-like streams that flow into your dreams. That big blue open sea that can't be crossed, that can't be climbed. Just born between. Oh, the two white lines, distant gods and faded signs of all those blinking lights. You had to pick the one tonight. Dug by little moles, angry, jealous spies. They got telephones for eyes, and they come to you as friends. All those endless ends. That can't be tied. Oh, they make me laugh and always make me cry. Until they drop like flies and sink like polished stone. Of all the stones I throw, how does that old song go? Never were quite right.